all of us. Everyone at the State's Academic Medical Center. All working together to deliver complete care now and for generations to come. All over the state, including hospital and clinic locations from the Delta to the Gulf Coast. All for one reason. You, the University of Mississippi Medical Center. All for your health.
This is an MPB Think Radio podcast.
The 10-Minute Timeout is a mini podcast that brings Mississippi sports stories to life. Join me, Lacey Alexander, as I learn more about the teams, athletes, staff, and programs that make our state proud. One-on-one interviews with influential playmakers paint a clear picture for listeners of how Mississippi sports inspire and energize our community. New episodes released every other Friday on your favorite podcasting app.
This is Southern Remedy Kids and Teens on MPB Think Radio. I'm Dr. Morgan McLeod, Assistant Professor of Pediatrics and Internal Medicine at UMMC. Today, we are going to be talking about screen time and media use. We're going to talk about how much is too much, how can it be affecting our kids, and as always, we would love to hear from you. You can always send us an email to kids@mpbonline.org. So I thought today would be a good time. I don't know why, just recently, this past week, I've seen on social media, I guess, which is a little ironic, some people sharing, there's been several articles that have come out this week just talking about how much screen time, media, social media is starting to affect our kids. Just with, you know, they're not getting out as much as they used to. It's making kids more sedentary. It's starting to affect kids' mental health. We've talked about that before in here, I think, earlier this year when we were talking about our healthy habits. But, you know, the mental health of our kids and adults is starting to be affected. And it's becoming more and more of a problem. And I feel as a physician and as a parent, it is our responsibility to kind of step in and intervene with these kids with just how much they are using and they are relying on their phones and on social media. Not to say that all of it is a bad thing, and we're going to talk about that, why there are some good aspects to media use and social media, but then we're going to talk about the downfalls that can happen and why you have to be cognizant of what your child is doing. So just some statistics I found since COVID, so only in the past, what, 3-4 years, they have seen it almost double the media use when they poll kids on how much that they're using their phones and social media. So tweens, so this is considered 8-year-olds to 12-year-olds. 8-year-olds, mind you, is like third grade, which is kind of crazy to think about. Well, fourth grade. But tweens, so 8-year-olds to 12-year-olds, spend about 5.5 hours per day with screens. So that's not just phones or tablets. This is also televisions and things like that, computers. And now some of it we have to keep in mind, too, that a lot of their work is on the computer, too. So the older you get, especially once you hit middle school, you know, some of your work is going to be on the computer. And even in elementary, I mean, I think even the elementary kids get iPads now. So, you know, some of that you have to take a little bit, you know, that into consideration. But still, 5.5 hours, that's a long time. And then for teens, so that's considered 13 to 18-year-olds, 8.5 hours per day. I mean, I don't even get that much sleep at night when you think about it, when you put it into perspective that way. That's a lot of time that they're using screens. And so that, again, that's not just social media and phones. This is like in general, just between TV, computers, phones, all of that. That's a long time, 8.5 hours. I was kind of shocked. I didn't know it would be that much. I mean, we all get that little notification, you know, every week on your Apple phone that tells you how much you've been using your phone per day and what your average is. And it's always a little bit of a gut punch to me, especially like when I'm in service in the hospital, and we have an app for our online portal for patients. So I do have to check it a lot. But when I get that notification when I'm in service, because I'm having to be on my phone a lot for that, it's always kind of a gut punch to me. So I always like it when I come off service and it says your screen time is decreased by 30% or whatever it is, you know, that they tell you. But it's still, even when I'm not in service, I know for a fact I spend entirely too much time on my phone, whether it be checking emails or texting or looking at social media. We all do it. We all spend too much time on our phone. But 8.5 hours is a lot. That is a lot. So we're going to talk today about how we can help that. What can you do as a parent? What can you do as a grandparent? Or just as friends and family members? How can we help our kids to try to limit some of this so that they can make these good decisions? Because I always try to tell parents, you know, when we're talking at our well childs, we're just trying to help you make healthy and good decisions so that when we're not here, your kids are going to make the good decisions when they go off to school. So that's what our goal is, hopefully. And I feel like this is a good discussion topic, so I would love for you to call in and tell me your opinion on this, or maybe some things that you have found to be helpful for your kids when you're going through this with your teenagers or your tweens and they're wanting cell phones, and how are you managing that? I would love to hear from you and hear your side of things and what you think. What have you found to be helpful for your family? Okay, so let's talk about some of the good things because, I mean, I'm on social media. MPB's on social media. We're asking you to go listen to these on podcast. You know, Lacey, I'm sure you are on social media as well. So, like, I'm not saying it's a bad thing. We all do it. And I feel like it's in ways it's enhanced our lives because we're able to see and keep up with family members and friends. You know, we like people that I haven't seen in years, you know, 20 years, I can see and I'm watching their kids grow up and just able to keep up with certain things, you know, throughout people's lives. So, I mean, they're great from that standpoint. It's also nice for people to be able to connect to community. So you're able to see about different events that are happening locally in your community. Maybe it's ways for you to get involved. You may not have known about this event that you could volunteer for, or a 5K that was happening, or whatever else it may be. But trying to be able to get out into the community, you may learn new opportunities. The other thing is there's lots of support groups for, like, illnesses and patients with disabilities. I know there's a lot of people that have chronic illnesses, or maybe parents of children who have different, you know, chronic illnesses, from support groups for the parents, support groups for the kids, for the patients. And even as an adult, you may have found that adults living with chronic illness, you may be able to find some support there. I know there's also support groups for, like, weight loss and things like that, like where people share recipes or workouts and, you know, there's all kinds of different things out there to help you support in different groups. And so that's another wonderful, wonderful aspect of that. And speaking of, like, health, you can also find all kinds of, like, workouts, recipes. A lot of even the, like, Weight Watchers or WW, whatever it's called now, if you actually get on their app, there's a whole section just for community where people can chat with each other and post different things that they found. So, you know, there's lots of health and wellness things that are out there as well. And then just learning opportunities for our kids. Like I mentioned, our children have to be on their computers, on their tablets for some of their school work that they have to do. But that's also where they get a lot of their information. I mean, nobody has encyclopedias anymore. You don't go to your bookshelf and find the encyclopedia, you know, the one that has everything that begins with a C and pull that off the shelf. You just Google it. It's right there at our hands now. You don't have to use those kind of books and things like that anymore. So you can't fault our children for being on their phones and doing their research on the internet because it's so easy and it's right there and available to us.
Because we do the same thing.
Exactly. We do the same thing all
They're like, my cousins are like, Lacey, why does this do this? And the first thing I do is pull out my phone.
Exactly.
And so I can't tell them not to pull out their phone.
Exactly. Exactly. Or if you're watching TV or something, you're like, hey, how do I know this person? And you just Google it right there and you figure
IMDb
it out.
IMDb is your friend.
Yes. Yes. So, you know, I mean, there are so many wonderful opportunities that the internet and media use provide to us. However, there are the downfalls. And so that's what we're going to talk about next. We're going to talk about some of the problems that we see, some of the problems that I see as a provider and a physician. And then we'll talk some of the about what you can do to make healthy habits for your family. I would love to hear from you. Share some comments about this. This is a good discussion topic, and I want to hear your opinion. So tell us what you did with your kids or maybe some things that you have found to be helpful. We would love to hear from you. You can send us an email to kids@mpbonline.org. This is Southern Remedy Kids and Teens on MPB Think Radio. We are talking today about media and device use in our kids and some of the good things, some of the bad things, what you can do to help limit that. We would love to hear from you, so give us a call this morning at 1-877-MPB-RING. That's 1-877-672-7464. Or you can always send us an email as well to kids@mpbonline.org. So before the break, we talked a lot about screen time and some of the good aspects of screen time and why it's not always a bad thing for our kids to have access to screens and media use. There's lots of good things that can happen, but there's lots of bad things that can happen too. And so that's what I want to talk about now and some of the problems that we see as parents, as providers, what all of this media and screen use is doing to our kids. So again, if you're just tuning in, one of the things that kind of prompted this was just something recently I've seen so many articles coming out about just how much it is starting to affect this Gen Z group that is coming up now. And one of the things I said earlier was how we have seen media use increase significantly since COVID. And tweens, which is considered 8 to 12-year-olds, spend an average about 5.5 hours per day between screen and media use. And teenagers, which is ages 13 to 18, use about 8.5 hours per day of screen and media use. So this is, I mean, you know, 8.5 hours, that's a third of your day. When you break it down that way, or a little over a third of your day that our kids are using for screens and media. And so, very important topic that I wanted to make sure that we talked about. Again, I'm not knocking it completely because we talked about how there's so many great aspects of it. It's ways for your kids to communicate. It's ways for you as adults to keep up with friends and family. We talked about how it can promote community participation with different events that are going on, and just support that you can get, not only from your friends and family, but if you suffer from chronic illness, or maybe your child suffers from chronic illness, or maybe you are trying to lose weight and you need options for recipes and support groups, you know, you can find all of that online, which is wonderful. And a great resource for a lot of people. And especially if it's something that you don't want to talk to a lot of people about, it's nice when you talk to people who are in similar positions as you. So it gives a lot of people comfort to be able to have these online communities. And so it can be a wonderful place. But let's talk about some of the downfalls now. So one of the first things I would say, and this is not just... Well, I think mental health is one of the biggest things, but this kind of goes hand in hand with mental health, is sleep. I can't tell you how many people come in for problems with sleep, and one of the first things we ask them is, you know, like, do you sleep with the TV on, or when do you cut your devices off? This goes for kids, adults, everybody, and everybody sleeps with their phone right by their bed. Majority of people have a TV in their room. I'm guilty of that as well, watching TV before bed. There are so many aspects of screens that affect our sleep. So the light itself can be stimulating, and you know, you hear all the stuff about the blue light and all the different things like that, but there is a lot to that. The different wavelengths, particularly with that blue light, can affect your levels of melatonin. And as most people know, melatonin is the hormone in our body that helps us get ready for sleep. So if you are constantly exposed to that light, particularly that blue light, then it's going to affect your levels of melatonin. It's not going to let your body get ready for sleep. And you can even see this in little kids too. So little kids who are watching TV before bed, it can also affect them getting ready for sleep. So number one, we recommend no screen use at least an hour before bed, because that's how long it takes to really kind of get out of your system. Probably really need longer than that, but I would say at least an hour. You want to make sure that you're getting away from the screens. Most people will tell you don't have a TV in your bedroom. That's kind of the pot calling the kettle black here, because I have always had a TV in my bedroom. But it can make a big difference. If you're somebody that has a lot of trouble sleeping, we know that a TV in the bedroom is a big no-no. And getting on your phone, you know, we all know that. I think it's just common sense. It's kind of one of those things that that you know and it's staring you right in the face, but you just don't want to admit it. sleep is majorly affected by our screens. I mean, like I said, I see that across the board, from young kids all the way to our adults, that's really affecting sleep. Another thing is obesity. So we know that there is an increased risk of obesity with the higher amounts of screen time. Now, I think it's kind of a little complex, why that's happening, but the biggest reason is just because if you're sitting and looking at a screen, then you're not outside getting active. I think that's kind of the biggest thing. There's probably more aspects to it. But if you are sitting at your screen, you're looking and just scrolling social media, or you're playing video games, then you're less likely to be outside and getting active.
You mean to tell me Candy Crush does not burn calories?
It does not.
This is how you break the news.
we've all been guilty of it, sitting on our phones, and then next thing you know, an hour has passed, and you're like, where did the time go? We've all done it. You can't say that you've never been there before, because everybody, I feel like, has been there at some point, where you just realize how quickly time passes. And so before you know it, the day's over, and you're not out, you haven't gotten outside, you haven't exercised. And so we know that it's definitely increases your risk. Another aspect would be, when you're just sitting there, what do? You go get a snack. You go get a snack or you go get a drink. And most of the time, our drink choices are not always the healthiest. It's usually not water that we're grabbing to go drink. You're drinking your calories, you're eating your calories as you're just mindlessly sitting there on your screen or watching TV or whatever it may be. So sleep and obesity, I definitely think, are some of the biggest problems that we see with the increased media and social media use. If you have any questions, comments, I would love to hear from you. Call and share your opinions on this and what you think could be part of affecting our kids, or how you have found to limit the screen time for your family and what works. And then I would say the other big thing is the mental health. That is definitely a big, big issue. Some of this goes hand in hand because, not getting enough sleep is really bad for our mental health. If you're not getting enough sleep and you have underlying anxiety and depression, that only makes it worse. But it definitely, definitely affects our mental health. You can't, especially when it comes to social media, I guess, in particular, we have seen a rise in childhood anxiety and depression. I mean, just yesterday in clinic, I think we had three or four teenagers that we saw that were follow-ups for medication that we had started. We're definitely seeing a rise of this. And I can't help but think it has to have something to do with all the exposures that our kids have. Now, granted, we've talked about this before. There's so many more pressures on our children now than there were 20, 50 years ago. However, the rise of social media has definitely played a role in it. And, I mean, you even as an adult, you can't help but compare yourself. You know, that's one of the things that you do when you're looking. And you can, I mean, it's just a natural human instinct that we have to compare ourselves to others. So if you think about adults who have this, you know, we're able to kind of filter through that, even though it may be our gut instinct to feel that, we can kind of filter through that. Our teenagers, they don't always make the best decisions. We've talked about this before, you know, their brain is still developing, so they're not always going to make the best decisions when it comes to that. And so they easily compare. It's easy for them to get bogged down in a lot of that. And it's hard for us as parents and grandparents because we never really had to experience that as teenagers. So we don't really know what they're going through and some of those pressures that they're feeling when they're comparing themselves. Because again, we're older, we can make better decisions, we can block a lot of that out. But it's a struggle for our kids. And so it's very important for our as parents, grandparents, we should be talking to our children about some of the things that they're seeing on social media, some of the things that they're seeing on TV, you know, what are their feelings on that? Because a lot of them just need to talk to somebody, and they just need to have some of that dialogue because there a lot of them are just suppressing some of those feelings that they are feeling based off of what they're seeing on the screen. So I definitely see that affecting our children's mental health. Just some other things, too, is school performance. And again, a lot of this goes hand in hand because your kids aren't sleeping. They're staying up on their screens, which ultimately ends up affecting their school performance. But the other thing is kids are so distracted by it, too. So they can't just sit down and do homework. You know, their phone is right beside them. So instead of being able to focus, they're constantly looking at their phone. Did somebody text me? What do I need? You know, do I need to check in on anything? Or if you have the TV going on in the background, it's hard to stay focused on your homework just in studying for your test when you're distracted by screen. So we definitely see it affect the school performance. And again, that lack of sleep that comes with that can also affect the school performance. In our younger kids, there have been some associations with learning, delays in learning and social skills. Again, if you're not, you know, our jobs as parents is to engage our children and help teach them and help them learn from the environment around them. If they're sitting in front of a screen, yeah, they may learn. I love some Miss Rachel, and I'm not going to lie. My kids have sat in front of the TV and watched Miss Rachel sometimes when I've had things I needed to do. And I think they've learned some things. You know, she does the sign language. She teaches colors and shapes and numbers and all the things. And that's great. But nothing can replace that direct interaction of a parent and their child. But you know what I mean? There's just something about that connection with a parent and their child and what you can teach them. It's just the little things that you don't even think of that you say that your children are constantly picking up on. As we've said, you know, they're little sponges. They're always listening. They're always watching. So if you see, you can't replace that interaction and you can't get it back. You know, that's another thing. When you think about, everybody says time goes so quickly. You know, the days are long, but the years are short. And they are. And, you know, putting down your phone, turning off the TV to be with your kid, you know, you're not going to be able to get that time back. So just take advantage of it when you can, because it can definitely delay some of the learning and their social skills if you're not interacting with them. It's good. They're going to learn things, but they're not going to be able to do some of that social and emotional connection that we expect them to learn as they get older from interacting with people. Behavior problems. A lot of kids act out by what they see. You know, if they're watching a show, I mean, some of these cartoons that are on TV have some interesting things that are said. And a lot of kids don't realize it. You know, as parents, we watch some of these cartoons and we're like, did they really just say that? You know, but it's a lot of it. Some of it is geared for adults, and the kids don't realize that. They just think it's funny. And then they're going to do some of the things that they think was funny because they saw the cartoon do it. They saw it on TV. So just something, you know, some of the behaviors, and especially some of the violent stuff. I feel like it's not as big as it was like when I was growing up. That was when all the video games were coming out and like Mortal Kombat and what was the one the Grand Theft Auto. Is that what it was called? I don't know. I was not a gamer.
I was not allowed to play Grand Theft Auto as a kid. I was told that was too violent for my little brain.
Yes. Well, your parents were probably right on that.
Played SpongeBob on the GameCube all day, but was not allowed to play Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah. But, you know, some of those things our kids see, and those are very violent games. And they can't help but have questions and have piques their interest about what is happening with that, you know, with that, and may carry some of that activity over into their everyday life. We've got a caller. I've got some more topics to talk about, but I want to get to the phone lines. We've got Dan. Good morning, Dan. What's going on?
Good morning. Good morning. When I heard about the subject, you know, immediately in my head, I just think social media is the bane of our existence. But when listening to the show and I hear all the good things about it, and there are an awful lot of good things about it, but to me, there are two things that really it's eating away at, and that's first and foremost the family unit, and secondly the socialization of these kids in their environment. You know, they don't seem to talk things out as much as they text things out, and you see that so often. I mean, we were at a movie not too long ago, and there was probably a crowd of about 14, 17 kids, and they were in a large circle, and not a single one of them was turning to the next person and talking. They were all on their phones, each and every one of them. And, you know, those two things come to my mind, you know, how they develop these social skills, number one, and like I say, the family unit is huge. I mean, most everybody grew up probably around a television growing up, but there was also dinner time to sit at the table and discuss the day, and that seems to be waning away. So those are just my comments, you know.
Yeah, no, thank you for calling and sharing that. Yeah, that kind of goes back to what we were saying, even I was talking more about the young kids, just that social emotional connection that is so important that we are supposed to teach our kids. But I mean, you're right. It's teenagers too. They don't know, a lot of them don't know how to communicate as well because they don't talk. They text because texting is a lot easier. It's faster, and so that's very true. That's a very good point.
And most of those teenagers that are doing this have had a phone in their hand since they were 5, 6, 7 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And they know how to navigate all through the gambit of social media, which can be quite dangerous as well. But, I mean, they're really adept at that. And it takes those social communication graces out of the picture, and I just hate to see that happening. And you see it in the way that people interact with adults as well.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. All right. Well, I love the show.
Well, thank you.
Hang up the rest of it.
Yes, thank you so much for your call. We're going to continue talking about media use. We've got another calling in. Send us an email to kids@mpbonline.org. This is Southern Remedy Kids and Teens on MPB Think Radio. We are talking today about social media and how it is affecting our kids and teens and even us as an adult. If you have any questions or comments, I would love to hear from you. You can always send us an email to kids@mpbonline.org.
I have a question for you, Doc.
Yeah, go ahead.
So when you're talking to kids versus when you're talking to teens, do you pretty much keep a standard screen time allowance that you prefer, or do you allow them more screen time the older they get?
Yes. So that is such a good topic, the question, because I was going to get to that. So under 18 months, we recommend no screen time. Just hands down. Starting around age 2 to 5, we say about an hour a day. Once they hit 5 or so, you know, a couple of hours a day is probably okay. And then as you get older, you know, you can't, like, I guess, really put a hard number on it because it's kind of hard because, again, a lot of their schoolwork and things like that are dependent on media and screen use. So it's kind of a little bit harder as you get older to say, like, you can only have this many hours a day or whatever. But for the younger kids, we really do try to say around 2 to 3 hours at most a day. our older kids, I would say probably close to like 4 hours. I wouldn't do much more than 4 hours a day. I feel like that's still enough time to be able to use it and get your schoolwork and things done. So, yes, it definitely increases as you get older, the allowance that the AAP or the American Academy of Pediatrics recommends. A lot of the things that they say when you do start introducing media and screen time for our younger kids, they recommend, especially that 2 to 4 years old, that, you know, that time I said where they say like an hour or so a day, they recommend co-viewing is the term that they say. So, like, don't just put your kid in front of the TV for Miss Rachel or Gracie's Corner or whatever it may be that you're looking at. Sit with your kid and watch it so that you can interact with them. You know, like, all those shows, they ask the kids questions, like my daughter loves Mickey Mouse and Clubhouse, and the Clubhouse, you know, they're always coming up, they run into problems, and they have to try to solve the problems, and so Mickey will ask them questions, you know, like, how can we do this, or what does this look like, or, you know, anything like that. And so I always try to ask Annie, because sometimes she'll say it out loud, but sometimes she won't. So I'll be like, what shape is that? You know, and try to interact with her some. I mean, again, it's not great for them to be in front of a screen, but they can learn some things. So it's okay to do it every now and then. I'm not against it, because again, that would be pot calling the kettle black. But, you know, if you can co-view with them and interact with them as they're watching it, that can make a big difference for our younger population. So all that being said is under 18 months, none. Younger kids, try to limit it to 1 to 2 hours. As they get older, you know, you can start pushing more 3 to 4 hours just because of the nature of what they have to do. But if you can interact with them and watch with them, that they recommend that as much as you can.
Yeah, I imagine for parents of multiple children or really busy parents, like, the screen is a lifesaver for when they just need their children distracted. People always say, like, oh, my kid will never be an iPad kid. And then you have it and you're like, where's the iPad?
Yeah.
What do I do? So, yeah, that's interesting, you know, to try and is there screen time that they want, or screen time that you as a parent need for them to have while you're doing something else?
I know, like I said, I'm not knocking it, because I definitely utilize it. I used it this morning. If I'm being honest, I put Miss Rachel in this morning while I was getting ready. My husband left to go to work before me, and so I was having to do some things around the house and get myself ready, and so for, you know, 15 minutes I put them in front of the TV while I got everything together, because mine are wild. And they will run outside and they'll go do whatever, you know, without me watching them, and so I had to let them sit for a few minutes while I had to get the last bit of things together. So you know, I'm not knocking it. I think there's time and a place for it, but again, if you can do it with your child and interact with them, that can be a very helpful. So one of the things that I had seen that prompted this is, like I said, on social media, I saw people sharing this social psychologist. It was a couple of different places that were sharing it. So it must have just come out this week, this article that he wrote. But to kind of piggyback off of what we were talking about earlier, that you can't replace that interaction with your toddler. Yes, they're going to learn things from the shows that they watch, but you can't replace that social connection and that emotional connection that they learn from that. And then, like our caller mentioned, our teenagers too, you know, this is not just young kids. This is our teenagers too. They need to learn how to talk to people so that they can, you know, go on with their lives. But this is what the social psychologist, the quote he said, his name is Jonathan Haidt, I guess, H-A-I-D-T. He said, "I call smartphones experience blockers, because once you give the phone to a child, it's going to take up every moment that is not nailed down to something else. That means there will be very little other experience other than through the phone. It's basically the loss of childhood in the real world." And I mean, it kind of hit a little hard. Maybe
makes me sad.
I know. But it is true. You know, I mean, there's so much that our kids lose by being tied to a phone and tied to social media and screen time. So, I thought that quote was pretty applicable after everything that we had talked about and what our caller had mentioned. If you have any comments, give us a call, 1-877-MPB-RING, 1-877-672-7464.
You know, something I think is interesting is that the generation that really got into smartphones is having children now.
Mm-hmm.
Like when I was a kid and playing on my Game Boy, my granddaddy was like, I'm going to take that thing out of your hand. He hated it. But now we can relate to our kids that are addicted to their electronics because we're addicted to ours. Mm-hmm. So that's a difference to me in generational stuff that I think is just fascinating.
Yeah. No, that's a really good point. Yeah, that's a good point. So addiction was another one of the things, one of the other bad things that could come out. So you brought
I'm going to leave the room.
You brought up another one of mine that I had read about, too. So, we're addicted to our phones. And again, I'm guilty of it, too. This is not trying to call other people out. This is also very convicting for myself, too, because I have my phones with me at all times, you know, and it's not a bad thing to have our phones with us at all times because, I mean, I think now, and my kids are young, but I think about, like, when they get their driver's license and when they're driving and things like that, like, our parents and our grandparents had no way of knowing where their kids were, and that's terrifying to me. You know, now we have the Life 360 app that you can always see where everybody is. You can track and you can see what they're doing. Oh my gosh, that app even shows you how fast they're driving. You know, I mean, it's crazy what they can do now. So the fact that you have that availability, I mean, that's awesome and that's wonderful. But, you know, we are addicted to it and we need screen-free time because it is important for our families, for our mental health to take breaks from our phone. But yes, it has led to, I mean, we're truly addicted to it.
We're dependent on it.
Mm-hmm. We really are. We truly are. So we talked about it affecting sleep. It's linked to obesity, delayed in school performance and learning skills. We talked about behavior problems that can happen and the mental health effects that it can have. And I've got a couple more things. Do we need to take a break, Lacey? Okay, we'll keep going. Cyberbullying, which kind of goes hand in hand with, mental health. But we see this a lot. And I don't think it's just kids, too. I mean, adults do it, too. Oh, my goodness. If you go on some of those, like, the Instagram pages of, like, the Today Show, and they post an article or they post a picture of one of the anchors, like, people will just say some of the meanest things on there about, about the way that they're dressed, or did you see that, or, you know, like, I mean, just some awful, hateful things. And anybody can say that behind a screen, you know? Nobody's going to say that to you in real life. So being behind the screen gives people a lot more power. And so they'll say a lot more things that they would never actually say to your face. So this is not just to kids. This is to adults as well. I mean, we've kind of lost that human aspect to it, I guess. You forget that these people are human behind a screen. So we see cyberbullying so much in our kids and in our adults as well. And then the dark side of it, too. I can't not mention this, but like sexting and predators and all of that aspect that comes with that. I'm trying to find... Okay, here it is. Okay. With regards to sexting, it says about 19% of youth admit that they have sent a sexual photo to somebody. And that's teenagers. So this is not adults. This is, again, that teenage range, which is 13 to 18 years old. 19%, that's like almost one in five have done that.
That's scary.
Yeah.
That can lead to criminal charges if you're not careful.
Well, and that's what I don't think kids think about. Again, kids don't make good decisions. Their brains are not fully developed. We as adults don't make good decisions.
I was about to say, most adults don't make good decisions.
Much less you put this in the hands of a kid whose brain is not fully developed. They're not going to make good decisions. And they don't realize how permanent this can be. you can trace anything back. I mean, you know, you delete it, but it's somewhere. I don't know. I always joke that it's somewhere out in the clouds, floating around somewhere. Somebody is going to be able to track that down at some point. So as parents, we have got to stress to our kids the, you know, how permanent anything that they do on the internet or through social media or pictures and texts that they send, it can always be found. It can always be tracked down.
Yeah. I mean, their kids, the sender of those images is not a perfect person, but the receiver of those images is not a perfect person either. So you never know how those pictures are going to get around.
Where they go. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, so exactly right. You don't know what is going to happen with those images. And now with, like, AI that we were talking about, they can take those images and do, who knows what with that. I mean, the possibilities are just endless and scary. So now we've talked about all the bad. We've talked about good things. We've talked about bad things. And now let's talk about what you can do as parents. So I'm not here to tell you when you can give your kid a phone. I mean, you know, every child is different. And, you know, there's no black and white answer. I mean, there's just not, especially when it comes to this. I do think it's better to give them a phone and social media while they're still under your roof. I would say that because I don't think it's best practice to wait until they go to college and let them get a phone and social media and then do who only knows what. You know, we all remember those people from high school whose parents preached, you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do that, and they were the wildest ones of everybody. when you give kids the free rein, they're going to go wild. So I do think it is best to introduce some of this while they are still under your roof. But I don't know that there's definitely a hard line where you can say, oh, when they turn 15 years old, they can have a phone. When they turn 17, they can have social media, you know, whatever it may be. That social psychologist that I had mentioned earlier, he kind of gave an outline, and he said no smartphones before high school and no social media before 16 were what he would recommend, just based off of all the things that he has found. But I think it's a little tricky. I think it's very dependent on the child. There's different maturity levels for each child. You know your child best. So one thing that I would say is you have to think about your kid and how responsible you feel, and if you feel they are prepared for it or not. You just kind of have to work that out between you and your family members. So, but there are a few other things that I would recommend. One of the things that we've already talked about is the co-viewing. So if they are going to be on, you know, your younger kids in particular watching different shows and things like that, you want to make sure that you're watching it with them and interacting with them. If your child is on social media, you need to be checking it. You're the one paying the bills for the phone, and so you need to make sure that you are monitoring what's happening in your kid's life when it comes to social media. We've got a caller, so I want to get to the caller before we run out of time. Good morning, Miss Vicki. What's going on?
I am so shocked by the fact that children are so addicted to the internet and their little tablets. I have a 4-year-old grandson, and he had to go in for an operation in another state, and they actually calmed him down with a tablet. They had the hospital had their own tablet. But I love my daughter because she takes the information, you know, she looks at the information he's looking at all the time, and she will take the tablet away from him. She does not let him listen to it look at it all the time and listen to it all the time. She'll hide it from him. He's only 4, and he's more savvy than I am when it comes to computers and tablets. It's amazing.
It truly is amazing how quickly they pick it up. Mine don't even have a tablet, and they've only played on my phone a handful of times, and they already know how to turn it on and start taking pictures. That's about all they know how to do. They're 2. But, I mean, still, at 2, she already knows how to turn my phone on and find the camera. I'm like, how? How did you figure that out? I never showed her. She just figured it out on her own, which is just wild to me. It's crazy what they can do.
It is. Thank you for listening. Thank you for having this on, because it is a concern for everyone.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Ms. Vicki, for calling and sharing. We appreciate it.
Okay, bye-bye.
So last little tips that I would say is, like I said, check your kids' social media. You need to know what's going on in their lives. I mean, you have to find a healthy balance, because for teenagers to respect you, you have to give them the respect. But you kind of need to have an agreement when you allow your child to do social media, that I'm going to be able to check certain amount of times, I'm going to be able to do this, in order for them to be able to continue with social media. And, you know, as they prove your trust, that's what my parents always told me, until you prove that we can't trust you, we're going to trust you. You know, we're going to give you the benefit of the doubt. And so I think that goes a long way with teenagers, because they want respect. You have to respect, give them some respect. So, you know, have that conversation up front before they start the social media. Have some screen-free times, you know, like make sure that you have at the dinner table, everybody puts their phones away, you know, and it starts with the parents. You have to be a good example. That's another point that I wanted to make sure we made. If your kid sees you on your phone all the time, well, of course, they're going to think it's okay for them to be on their phone all the time. So as a family, you need to dedicate screen-free times where you spend time together as a family. Everybody puts their phones up. A lot of parents will also make kids put their phones up when they go to bed. Now, I mean, that's can be a little bit trickier, but that is something to consider too. You know, if your child is having problems sleeping and it's really starting to affect their schoolwork and different things like that, you know, that may be something to consider, taking their phone at bedtime. Really need to put away screens, like I said, at least an hour before bed. And that may be that you just want to keep their phones, you know, in your room and not in their room, so that they don't even have access to it. That's another thing. And then the biggest thing is just talking to your kids. I can't stress that enough. We talked about that numerous times on this show, just how important open communication with your children are. Oh, I'm struggling today. How important open communication with your children is. If they feel the pressures, or if they're seeing something, you want them to be able to come talk to you about it. So if you are already initiating those conversations, or let's talk about what you saw on this, or how did this make you feel when you saw this, or how did this make you feel when you read this, they're more likely to come talk to you when a problem arises. So again, open communication, talking to them about what they're seeing is super important. Well, I hope this has been helpful. I feel like it is a very important topic, and I appreciate our callers calling and sharing their thoughts on this. If there was something you missed, you can always send us an email, kids@mpbonline.org. This has been Southern Remedy Kids and Teens, a production of Mississippi Public Broadcasting Think Radio, and is funded in part by a grant from the University of Mississippi Medical Center and generous support from listeners like you.
This is an MPB Think Radio podcast. To hear previous shows, visit mpbonline.org or download the MPB Public Radio app to listen on your iPhone or Android phone on demand.